wonderful day it is to come and to worship and to serve our Lord. And today, as we're continuing looking over the next couple of weeks at the different times that Jesus' feet was anointed by different women, I told you that there's some debate over how many times, but I believe looking in Scripture that there were three different times that women anointed Jesus, one of those being toward the beginning, kind of starting off his ministry a little bit. And then the one we're going to look at today, which is 6 days before the Passover, where Jesus was crucified. He's made his way in. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. And now they have hosting a meal for him that he's going to come to. And next week, we're going to look at one that kind of concludes his ministry, which the Bible tells us is 2 days before Passover. So we'll be looking at those. And today, I want us to see in our text why Mary is anointing Jesus' feet. I believe we see a picture of the church. And I want us to look today at four types of church members. I don't know if you know that there are different types of church members, and maybe, hopefully, you'll find yourself in one of these, and maybe I say hopefully you won't find yourself in one of these, but if you do, praise God, we have a God who loves, and we always have a new opportunity to start fresh when the Lord speaks to us. So if you would take your Bibles with me this morning and open them to the gospel according to John in chapter 12. And as you're turning there, remember, this is a little bit of time, not very long after Lazarus had died, gone into the tomb, and Jesus is there in Bethany. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. And there are people all around because it's time for the Passover. It's one of the meals or the festivals that everyone was required to come into Jerusalem. So they're making their way from all the different parts of the country to come for Passover. And then there's a point in time also that they are preparing themselves. And that's what's going on right now. And as you can imagine, Martha and Mary are excited that Jesus raised their brother from the dead, amen? But I believe probably also Lazarus is a little excited too that Jesus raised him from the dead. And out of their worship and their gratitude, they're hosting a meal. Jesus is coming in for this meal, and that's where we're going to pick up. If you would, once again, in honor of God's word, stand with me as we look at John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Father God, I thank you, Lord, today for your word. Father, I pray now that as we are here to worship you, Father, our hearts are tuned into you, and Father, we're listening. Lord, would you speak to each of our hearts where we are at today? And Father, would you shine light on your word that we may understand it? And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, as I said, I want us to take a little bit of time to see in this scripture the four different types of church members that I believe that we have here. The main people in this story that are given by name, we know that Jesus is there. Jesus is the head of the church. We know that Martha is there, Mary is there, Lazarus is there, the other disciples, but the other one mentioned by name is Judas. And we're going to look at each of these to find the types of church members that I believe are there. And the first type is Martha. Martha is the worker type church member. You see there at verse 2 that, so they made him a supper there and Martha was serving. God places people in churches because he's called us into service. Amen. I know I've told you this before. I do not believe God saved any of us to just be a knot on the log. He didn't save us to come be a bench warmer. He didn't put us in the team to do nothing. There's opportunities for us to do. And different people have different aspects of worship. And our service to God, a worker for God, is an attitude of worship. And we see here that she is serving. And I believe that Martha is serving Jesus in this particular story as an act of worship and an act of gratitude for what Jesus has done. She has seen his power over death right there in front of her very eyes. She has seen Jesus in a new light. She has come to know them. She knew that he could do these things, but to see it happen. And when that life gets changed, out of gratitude, she is serving Jesus. Church, what God has done for us, what Jesus has done, he's raised all of us from the dead. If you're a born-again believer, Christ has come into your body that was dead. It was under subjection and control of Satan, and we were bound straight for that rocky road straight to hell because of our sin. But because of God's grace and his mercy and his love, he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross for us, and he has brought our dead bodies, our dead souls to life, to worship and to serve God, just as Martha, out of gratitude, is serving. Now, we've seen Martha in this position one time before of serving, and I want us to look a little bit at both of these for just a moment. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Again, we see that there is a meal being prepared for Jesus. It says, early in the morning while it was still dark. Well, excuse me, that's not it. Luke 10. Verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's a difference here. We see that Martha once again is serving Jesus, but it tells us that she's distracted by many things. She's focused on the serving, not who she's serving. She's focused on all the things that she has to do. You see, God likes our service, but he wants our heart and our devotion more. So back over in our story in John, we see once again she's serving, but we don't see that Jesus is correcting her here because she is serving him out of worship, not out of duty. There's a difference. We can come to church, and there can be church-type people who are workers that are doing things out of duty. They're doing it because they have to do it. They're doing it because of what others might see. They're doing it because they're trying to earn God's love. Now, let me tell you this. I want you to hear all of it. Because service and work for God is good. But you cannot earn any more of God's love than what you have already. He loves us fully, totally, and perfect. Now, do not go out of here and say, preacher said we don't have to work because God already loves us. Now, he wants us to serve him, and we serve him just as Martha because we're grateful for what he has done for us. The second type is Lazarus. Lazarus is the receiver type of church member. We see there back at John 12, verse 2, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Now, we could take this and we could look at it in two different ways. We could say that Lazarus is just lazy and is reclining at the table, but I don't think that's what the Scripture's pointing out. But I do believe that in our life, there comes a time as a church member that we need to receive. The life that we live is a busy life. Can I get an amen for that? There's many distractions in this life. We're constantly under attack in this life as believers. And, I mean, look at Lazarus. He was just dead probably not too many days before this. I would say he was attacked pretty good. And Jesus has come in and he has raised him from the dead. And now he is reclining at the table with Jesus. I believe that there comes a time that we need what I would call it a respite. There's a time that so much has been sucked out that we rest and we recline at the table. We're not reclining doing nothing, but we're reclining at the table with Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see a picture here of Jesus. It says, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said, everyone is looking for you. So in the hustle and the bustle of all of Jesus' ministry, everyone's trying to find him. But what do we see? That Jesus had gone to a secluded place. What? Not to lay his head down on the rock and go to sleep. He went to that secluded place so that he could speak to the Father, that he could receive from the Father. Been reading a biography about a man by the name of Manly Beasley. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, a great man of faith that was used in our lifetime for a lot of great revival. And he talks about faith. That's what his life was built on. And we see as he shows us over in the Old Testament of creation that things happen through prayer. You see, God willed creation to happen. It was God's thought, God's design. But what happened? Jesus was the mouthpiece. He spoke it. And the Holy Spirit went out and did the creating. You see, Jesus had to stay in contact with the Father. He was God. He was man. But there were times that everything he did come from the overflow of what he was seeking from the Father. And he went there. There's times of healing that we need in our lives from God. Let me just read to you from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Where are you on your walk today? Are you weary and heavy laden? Go to him. Mark 6:31, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while, for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Now again, let me put this, not everyone in the church all the time needs to be the one reclining at the table. And I don't believe that that's all of our life, but I do believe that there are times that we need rest. When we're going through something, there's some times that we need to take a step back from service and just let the Lord feed us, because do you know what happens if you go and you go and you go and you reach that breaking point and you keep going and you keep going? I can tell you, get in the car with me in a little bit and go to the hospital with me and I'll show you what happens. God doesn't expect us to be this invincible person. He knows that we're human. He knows how he created us. And he tells us to come and to rest. So there are times that we need to be that type, reclining at the table, being fed. You see, that's what was happening with Lazarus. He wasn't just getting away. It wasn't time for a vacation. Sometimes we think we just need a vacation because everything's happening. But this rest is actually being fed and nurtured by God. We see that Lazarus is there. He's not off in the bedroom somewhere, but he's there with Jesus reclining at the table and being fed. The third type we see is Mary, and Mary is the worshiper type of church member. The worshiper type of church member. Take a look there at verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Once again, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. She's there out of submission. She's there out of gratitude. She's there in humble means. We talked about this some last week. She's at his feet, a sign of submission, a sign of humility. Now, let me give you a little picture in your mind, because it's taken me a while to understand this. In Jesus' day, when they came to the meal, and we hear about reclining, they didn't have the nice Duncan Fife table and those cute little chairs with all the ornate designs on them and the cushy seat. No, this table was probably a little bit raised off the ground, and they were reclining. They would be laid out probably kind of like this, and so they're all around there, so Jesus' feet would have been accessible to Mary. And in the middle of all that's going on, we know that they're preparing a meal, they're serving a meal, Martha's working, Lazarus is there, people from all over, the other disciples are there, people are coming to see because Lazarus, the dead man, is alive. And Mary humbles herself to go to the feet of Jesus, and she begins to anoint them with this spikenard, it might say, or nard. It's a type of ointment. Was a very costly ointment because of how it was made, where it had to be brought in from. It was expensive and costly. And in the Bible, when we see spikenard used, one of the study Bibles said that it lies in association with costly sacrificial worship and love. Mary didn't approach Jesus empty-handed. She come with something that was costly. Most likely, one of the studies said, most likely this perfume would have been in her family for some time because the cost of it. Judas kind of gave it the price of about 300 denarii. Ladies, how many of you have ever gone out and bought some good-smelling perfume? Some of you might go to Walmart and you get that $5 perfume. Some of you maybe even have stretched out there and spent $250, that'd be some good perfume, wouldn't it? Is that expensive for perfume? This perfume was estimated to be a year's worth of wages. A whole year for a working person. 300 denarii, well, pastor, is 365 days. A denarii represents a day's wage for the common laborer, but you're not paid on Sabbaths, and they're not paid on holy days and other festivals. So about a year's worth of wages, she brought this perfume. It cost her. This could have been a, like we would call today, a life savings. Said maybe they would use it every now and then for some perfume. It's also known for anointing and burial. But she brought this and she began to pour it on his feet. She began to show her resemblance of worship to him. 2 Samuel 24:24, when David was wanting to go and sacrifice, he's wanting a field and an animal that he could go sacrifice King David to the Lord. And the guy's like, here, just take it, I'll give it to you. Listen to his words here. It says, however, the king said to Arana, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. For I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Even the king. You see, when we come before the Lord, he's given us everything. And we don't just come flippant. We don't just come lighthearted. If we're coming to worship, then we're offering like Mary ourselves. Tells us that she anointed his feet, and again she began to wipe the feet with her hair, the sign of her glory. Also, we've talked a little bit last week about women would have their hair up. Their hair would be covered and up, and it was considered not appropriate in public for the woman to let her hair down. Now here Mary is in total surrender, in total submission out of worship to God, that she lets her hair down in front of everybody and she begins to wipe his feet. How many of you have ever smelled some beautiful perfume? Maybe some ladies like white diamonds. You might know what that smells like. Dear friend of mine, some of you might know Miss Barbara Valentine. She wore beautiful. It didn't matter where she goes. You knew she was there. I would always have to tell Nicole, or even if I didn't, if I saw Miss Barbara, and Miss Barbara gave me a hug, and I come home, and I'd walk in the door. All I had to do is walk in the door, and Nicole said, you saw Barbara Valentine today, didn't you? You see, that perfume permeates. Can you smell whatever is a beautiful perfume to you? You see, when we worship, it permeates to God. And when we go about, it should permeate through us that we have been with God. But there's one more, and that's the fourth, and that's old Judas. Poor Judas, he gets a bad rap. Judas is the complainer type church member. Don't know if you've ever met any of those that just complain. There's some of those in the church. Praise the Lord, I've not encountered many here. We've had a time or two, but I have been other places that it's just like you see them coming and it's, oh no, let me go the other direction. Amen. Come on, you can laugh. Y'all have all experienced that. There is that type of church member that's out there. But what do we see here? Here you have Martha in worship serving the Lord. You have Lazarus reclining, receiving. You have Mary out of an act of worship, letting down her hair, anointing Jesus' feet, wiping them. The whole house is filled with the fragrance. And I mean, the presence of God is just there. It's permeated through this perfume. And oh, Judas, verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now, Jesus talks about giving to the poor, and we should give to the poor. Oh, Judas had the right mouth, but his heart wasn't in the right place. You see, he was lying. Judas wasn't a bit concerned with the poor. It tells us over there that he wasn't concerned in verse 6 because he wanted to put it in the money boxes. He's the one that carried that little money box, and from time to time he would open it up, put a little bit here. You ever seen that? One for you, two for me, one for you, three for me. That's kind of what Judas was doing. He was looking at how much money could be put in there. He was lying with his show before everyone else. But also we see that he was selfish. He wasn't worried about the poor. He wanted it for himself. He was stealing. Well, you might would say, I've known some complainers in the church, but I've never known any that were stealing, or maybe you're that complainer in a church. But it's not the stealing of the money. But you see, when there's that one around who always complains, they're stealing their own joy of worship of God. And what usually happens if left unchecked, it begins to rob and to steal the joy within the congregation. Now, our joy for the Lord can never be taken, but the enthusiasm, the worship, the joy. I mean, there's those who seem to be good. Now, we need to be doing this. We ought to be doing that. It's too hot. It's too cold. Music's too loud. Whatever the complaining is, it can begin to dampen the mood. But why is it stealing of his worship? Because you see, it shows Judas's lack of faith and trust in the Lord. Showing that he don't believe that Jesus can take care of him. Out of everything he's seen, he's got to go get a little bit of money for himself. Philippians 2, verses 14 through 15 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So I'm just going to tell you this morning, in case you hadn't figured this out, don't be the type of church member that's a complainer. The one who's out looking only for themselves, the one that's always, you know, I have met some people in my lifetime that I could go out and get the best gift and I could wrap it with gold and put a bow on it and they're still going to complain about it. They're missing out on the joy. I believe God wants us to worship him out of sincerity, out of a true heart, out of gratitude. You see, maybe Judas missed that gratitude part. Even though he's been there with everything going on, but in his heart, he was the one getting ready for money again to go and to betray the Lord Jesus. Why do we worship? What is it about being a church member? Well, the small C church member, we come together as a group of people to worship God, and the church member should be a part of the capital C church, the Church of Jesus Christ. But we know that sitting in churches today and on church rolls are some who are not fully believers. But as we come to worship him, to be a church member, we're brought into the family of God, and we're to worship him. Why? Because God is worthy of our praise. Amen. Let me give you a couple of verses. Psalm 145, 3. Great is the Lord and holy to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because your will they existed and were created. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, that's who we worship. But I'm here to say that's who we get to worship. Amen. What a privilege it is that a holy God has saved us, and he invites us to come and to worship him. Jesus is worthy of our praise. Hebrews 1:3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And Philippians 2. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. See, there's four types of church members. Where do you fall today? Are you the worker type right now? Are you in that season that you're serving and you're actively working? Maybe you're the type that needs to be reclining right now. You need to be receiving Him. Maybe you're in that all-out attitude of worship, and some of these can all go together, worshiping. Maybe you found yourself as the complainer today. I pray that you would ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you which one you are. Because church, you see, it's exciting to come and to worship God because of what He's done for us. Just as Martha and Mary and Lazarus, because of our gratitude, amen, for what God has done for us, He's changed us. He's given us a new destiny. He's given us a new life. He's brought us into fellowship with Him. It's hard, and I know that it is hard for us to grasp the magnitude of that, that God is perfect and holy. God doesn't like sin. He don't want to be around sin. And yet we are born into sin and we commit sin, but He loves us so much that He offers through His Son that opportunity to come to Him and let Him cleanse us. Church, the moment you step foot into faith of prayer, asking Jesus Christ to come be your Lord and Savior, God the Father redeemed you at that very moment. He made you whole. He made you complete. He made you live. He redeemed you. He removed the penalty of your sin. He said that you no longer have death, but you're alive. You're alive today. We're promised everlasting life, a life in heaven with Him. That gratitude enough ought to be enough to take us to our feet to understand that we are in the presence of God. And our worship stems from that. And our worship shouldn't be cheap. It should cost us something. We should bring who we are and lay it out before Jesus and worship Him out of gratitude. Amen. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father God, this morning, Lord, we come to worship You. Father, I thank You for Your worship. Lord, I just pray at this very moment that, Father, Holy Spirit is speaking, Holy Spirit is stirring, and, Father, Holy Spirit is moving. Father, I ask that You would grant us the privilege to hear that. Father, would You show us maybe which one of these types we are? Father, would You help us to serve You? Would You help us to recline at the table, Lord, of Your table and let You feed us? Father, I pray that, Lord, You would allow us out of gratitude to worship You. Father, may our humility and our service and our worship be as that perfume that permeates the room. Father, may You smell that perfume. Father, may others smell that perfume as we worship You with our whole heart, as we submit before You. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand where you are this morning? Just leave your heads bowed for a moment. As we go into a time of responses, ask you this morning to search within your heart. Is there that gratitude there? Maybe the gratitude's not there because you've never received that great gift from God. Maybe today's the day that you need to come and surrender wholeheartedly. Confess your sin to Him. He has got open arms. He is ready to receive you. He is ready to forgive you. He is ready to lavish His blessings, His favor, and His love on you, but you must receive it. Maybe you're here today and Holy Spirit stirred your heart with these other types. You praise the Lord for your worship. Can you seek Him? Can you surrender to Him? Are you willing and ready to wholeheartedly just surrender, give all you have to Him? I'm going to be down front, be willing to pray with you. If you want to come to the altars, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning as we continue to worship?